Are you the kind of person who likes someone to get to the point? Do you ever have a conversation with someone and you're like, get to the point. What's the point? Are you like that? Well, then you should like Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel is kind of I think of it as it gets to the point. It's the shortest of the gospels. It's believed it was the first of the four gospels written. It's succinct. It's focused, short. Hopefully my homily can meet those requirements as well this morning. Matthew and Luke, it seems, had some of Mark's gospel in front of them, and when they wrote their gospels, they kind of added to it. A lot of Mark's gospel is found in the gospels of Matthew and Luke. Matthew and Luke, for instance, obviously they added the story of the birth of Jesus, those stories we heard over this last month or so. They added those on. Mark doesn't have a story about the birth of Jesus. It wasn't important to Mark, the author of Mark's gospel. That wasn't really of any interest to the author of Mark's gospel. Mark begins with John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is in the other gospels as well, but Mark begins there. And why? Why with John the Baptist? It seems that many feel that John the Baptist had followers and disciples, and that Jesus of Nazareth was a disciple of John the Baptist, spent time with John the Baptist, learned from John the Baptist, perhaps was shaped and formed by John the Baptist. And John's ministry, one could probably describe, maybe oversimplifying it, but John's ministry was really calling people to turn away from this sort of evil world. You know, repent, come to the Jordan. You know, John is someone who we picture being in the desert, the starkness of the desert. Stark Mark. It's one of remembering the Gospel of Mark. Stark Mark. That got me through some tests in the seminary. He's out there in the desert, and the pictures we have of John the Baptist, paintings, renditions of people, usually have him as kind of almost like a wild man, you know, someone who ate locusts and wild honey. We have pictures of him with kind of animal clothing on, a very stark kind of a person who gathered followers. Jesus is perhaps one of them. One of my seminary professors, John Meyer, who taught me in the seminary, has gone on to do a lot of writings, become rather prolific. And he wrote a multi-volume work on the historical Jesus. It's about this many pages. last year I finally finished the last version, the last edition of this book. Just this whole work on who is this historical Jesus. And he and many others really feel that Jesus was this disciple of John, formed and shaped by his teaching. Yet, Jesus has a different flavor to his ministry. It's interesting in this Gospel of Mark that it begins with John the Baptist and only 14 verses into the Gospel. That's where our Gospel reading is today, chapter 1, verse 14. 14 verses in, and we're into the ministry of Jesus. Jesus calling his first disciples. Now, read the other Gospels. You have to read quite a few verses and chapters to get to that. Mark begins right away into the ministry of Jesus. It seems in some ways that the ministry of Jesus was quite different than that of John the Baptist. John calling people away, repent, turn away from this evil world, come to the desert. Jesus, however, sets his eyes on the world. Jesus sets his eyes on Galilee. Jesus immerses himself into that world, and in the midst of that world, calls people to something more, to something different, to something new. This story we hear this morning is Jesus calling those first disciples, one we've perhaps heard many times, Jesus calling these fishermen, you know, leave your nets and follow me. And it says, and they followed him. They walked with him into this newness. How do we hear that story today? How do we hear that call? When we hear Jesus calling these disciples away from what they know and what they did, is that what we're being called to do? Is Jesus saying, you know, quit your job at SAS and come follow me? Quit your job working at the hospital and come follow me? Quit your job at your IT company, come follow me. Quit your job teaching and come follow me. Quit your job working in a biotech company and come follow me. Is that what we're being called to? I don't think so. I think the real message of this call that Jesus gives to these disciples is one of don't have your life totally defined by that thing that you do. That there's more to you and there's more to what you can do than what perhaps you're experiencing. And I'm calling you to that more. I'm calling you to that moreness. Come walk with me. Come journey with me and see. See who you are, see what you can do, and see what this world can become. And I think that's a message that we can hear in our own lives as we're called to that deeper journey that Jesus calls us to as well. Jesus goes to the desert. Jesus spends time in the desert. The desert is a very important place to be in our lives, and many of us end up there without even looking for it. We get there. And Jesus spends time there. But the focus of Jesus' ministry is not to stay in the desert or call people necessarily to stay in the desert, but to engage, to go to Galilee. Go to Galilee. And there, change the world. There, make a difference in the world. Teach people how to love each other. Teach people how to come to know God in new ways. Come to help people to change this world and open ourselves to newness. And some thoughts I shared on Christmas Eve, which is the last time I preached, this notion, we religious folks sometimes get into this habit of thinking we've got it all figured out. We know who God is. We know what it is. And if we live there and stay there, we might as well just pack up and leave. I mean, we're not opening ourselves to the newness of what Jesus is calling us to. That's really the message of Jesus this morning, calling these disciples, walk with me into something new. Walk with me into something deeper. And we're called to that as well. We're called to open our lives to that as well. And oftentimes that happens not up here. It doesn't necessarily come from reading books with that many pages. Oftentimes it comes through experience. The experiences of life that we have. The experiences that God puts us into. Family, friends, things that we encounter in life. We're called to a deeper experience of God and the holy. And to learn what it means to love God, to love your neighbor, and change the world. Bishop Curry preached here a while ago, and he's preached at diocesan conventions, and I've heard him preach in many, many, many places, but it's one of the phrases that he's kind of shared, this idea of the gospel being about love God, love your neighbor, change the world. You know, what better way to describe what we're called to? Love God, love your neighbor, change the world. I mentioned in one of the earlier services, I really identify with that, change the world. When I grew up as a little kid, I'm one of those kids that grew up wanting to be a priest. And if you asked me when I was young in the 60s, you know, why do you want to be a priest? My response was to change the world. It was a time in which we lived. Many of us clergy were formed and shaped in that similar time. But I don't think it's something just from that time. I think it's a gospel message. It's a gospel message to change the world. We talked about this on our vestry retreat. We're doing a lot of visioning and dreaming, and this phrase came up at Bishop Curry, you know, love God, love your neighbor, and change the world. As we gather here week after week, we gather, we come in from the parking lot, and we see that sign, all are welcome. And truly all are welcome to be here, to be part of this community where we learned to know God. We learn what it means to love our neighbor, and what it means to go forth to change the world. I've wondered if, as we have that sign that says all are welcome as we come in, if we had some kind of a sign here even. I'm looking at this wall. I'm looking at the church from this side. That wall up there could something like, love God, love your neighbor, change the world. That's what we're called to go forth and do, to be a difference in this world. That, in many ways, is the ministry of Jesus. And we know that when we see it. Great folks who lived in our time and before our time who changed the world. Just a week ago, we remembered Martin Luther King, someone who was about changing the world. Love God, love your neighbor, change the world. We can think of many people in our lives who did that, who mirrored that, who invited us to that, who called us to that, Jesus being the root of it all. So let us, as we gather together today, go forth and change the world and learn what the challenge of that is about. And let's check in again next Sunday. Isn't that what we do? Sunday is kind of we check in, get nourished, we catch up, we learn, we have fellowship, we drink coffee, we share our stories, we share our lives, and then go change the world. Go forth. So love God, love your neighbor, and let's change the world together.